It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
I'm here.
You are here. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hungry. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little ill, I'll be honest with you.
It is
and not pollen. Like ill, like sick.
It's pollen season, but not sick like sick.
Yeah, not sick, just feeling
unwell.
Under the weather.
Just unwell.
Unwell. Well, that is a little too real. We also have Ben Kossman here.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
He is well. The opposite.
See,
to you.
I'm
unwell.
Well. You are. I guess I know how you are.
I'm surprised that you're usually the one who's explaining to us the fact that time is an illusion and the world will end someday and we'll all be here.
Yeah.
He's made
your suffering will be over eventually. You will not suffer
thank
forever.
You, Ben.
Ben's made that his peace with that, though. So now he's just free to live his life as he desires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Illness is just part of the chaos of the universe.
Once you acknowledge it, you're free from all stress.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. All right. Well, let's get started. Let's jump right in here. Ben, I don't know if we've done this with you yet, but we do two topics, one at the beginning, one in the middle of the show, that you have not been prepped on.
Ooh.
I know.
I had a little... surprise last time I was on.
Oh, okay. So there we go. Yeah. Well, it's similar to the pop quiz.
We did meal or no meal last time I was on.
That's right. We did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, these are similar to the pop quiz. The only difference is that instead of having to have knowledge, you offer your opinion or a take, and then I'll mercilessly ridicule it.
It's fine. I'm used to that.
Okay. So the New Orleans Zephyrs, who are the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins, announced last week that they would be opening up to the fans to help rename their team. They want to rename their franchise. We all were a little bit sad about that because Zephyrs, we think, are a pretty great name.
Yeah.
But I have a question for the two of you. What would you rename the New Orleans Zephyrs if you personally were put in charge of the effort? Ben, we'll start with you.
Well, I think I wrote this post for Cut 4.
You did.
And my suggestion was the New Orleans Beignets.
I think that's a really great
suggestion.
Which
I'm going to stick with because I'm a big fan of the Montgomery Biscuits, which is the AA team for the Rays.
Okay.
And I think that's a great name. I think more teams should be named after food. The beignet is a New Orleans staple. It is delicious, and it's a fun. It'd be a fun mascot.
Okay, I like that.
That's my pick.
That's a good pick.
Yeah,
I love beignet. Have you had like a New Orleans beignet?
No.
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 So,
I've heard good
things though.
So good.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like the best food. If I could pick like one thing to eat, it would be that.
Yeah.
Black
see?
Coffee. Beignet.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
What I'm talking about.
Yes. So good.
Okay, well, before I have like a meltdown here thinking about beignets, Gemma, what would you name the New Orleans Zephyrs if you were put in charge?
You know, I was thinking of another food as well, but nothing is really as good now as beignets. I was like, I really like, you know, crawfish etouffee. That would be great. New Orleans etouffee could be a weird one of those teams, not a plural noun, you know, which I enjoy.
I like that.
But then I decided... Also, a lot of great cocktails come out of New Orleans, but you can't really have a team named after a cocktail because what would your mascot be? Just like a glass? That would be lame.
Look at the Brewers.
Right. They have Bernie.
Yeah.
So I thought then maybe we'll go with something a little bit more minor league aggressive, like the New Orleans River Marauders, because there used to be a lot of pirates on the Mississippi River and around, you know, and then their mascot could be Jean Lafitte, who has, you know, one of the older bars in New Orleans, Jean Lafitte.
Okay.
So,
that's aggressively minor league. You're right.
Yeah.
It's historical because it's history
long.
Of the time. Yeah.
The names
would be
are
good.
Getting longer now.
And
I
then
like
there's
that.
And there's a mascot built in.
Okay. That's good. Is that your final answer?
If somehow River Marauders loses in a poll, I think it should be the New Orleans Napoleons.
The Napoleons.
Also good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I also didn't really prepare for this, and I think my first impulse on this was something that I think you mentioned in your post, which was that the New Orleans Jazz would be a nice way to reclaim the Jazz as a New Orleans thing.
Mm-hmm.
We all know of New Orleans Jazz. When the New Orleans Jazz were a basketball team, they moved to Utah and became the Utah Jazz, which makes no sense because there's not really a jazz scene in Utah, so it'd be nice to have a little bit of that local flavor back in New Orleans. But it's weird because it is the name of the Utah Jazz, so maybe not that. And so then I'm thinking, well, you know what would be really good would be in honor of our Cut Four resident expert on the paranormal, Michael Clare. Mm-hmm. Why not? New Orleans is a town renowned for its haunted affairs and ghouls. Why not be the New Orleans ghosts? Mm-hmm. And that then you could have like a ghost on the hat, like the kind of like the ghost emoji.
Or, I'm into that. And then, I like that.
And then you just, they're the ghosts.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
You could have a ghost mascot.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Maybe it's the Charlie Brown thing with all the holes cut out of the sheet.
You know, it could be like how there are holograms of people now. It'd just be a hologram mascot because it's a ghost.
But that's not fun. You can't high-five a hologram, although you can't high-five a ghost.
So it's really accurate. Very realistic.
And then I guess once you could do Ghostbusters night. Where the ghost, you could have the Ghostbusters come and like attack the mascot. That would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
I don't know.
Ben's endorsement. Yes, it would be in fact interesting.
You know, I think that's a good idea.
I think all of our ideas are good.
Yeah,
that's true. New Orleans is a potent city for mascots.
I think Ben's is still the best though because I'm really hungry probably.
And Ben Yates. Probably why I think that. We're the most delicious of the three things we came up with. Mm-hmm. That is true. But really the real lesson here, as always, is that we should be put in charge of a minor league team.
Absolutely. Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
Well, did you read the New York Times article about the prospectus guys who ran a minor league team? Or minor league team or independent league team?
Independent league, I thought.
Yeah. Maybe it was independent league.
Well, there's a new independent league team coming to close to my dad's suburb in Michigan. We could all just go hang out there and seize control.
I will say the benefit of the minor league team, though, is that we don't actually have to make any of the baseball decisions.
True.
Because that'll be handled by the parent club, and I don't trust any of us to actually make good baseball decisions. Whereas,
how? After you said that your non-baseball job would be manager or owner.
I walked that back. I did walk that back. I can't be a manager. I still think I potentially could be an owner, but that's neither here nor there. Okay.
Buy us a team.
We don't need to relitigate whether
or not. Buy us a team, Dakota.
We don't need to relitigate whether or not I would be an owner. Let's move on here to our next topic, which has to do with Josh Donaldson Day, which also is every day. But there specifically was Josh Donaldson Day over the weekend at Rogers Center, and he had his bobblehead day, which is really exciting. Good for you, Josh Donaldson, MVP. Well, his mom threw out the first pitch for Josh Donaldson bobblehead day. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
It was so nice.
It was a really nice moment.
It was.
Yeah.
It's nice that she could be there for that. And of course it got us wondering, if you had your own bobblehead day, who would throw out the first pitch to celebrate? Gemma, why don't you walk us through your bobblehead day?
I mean, obviously I feel that we are all going to say, if I had a real bobblehead day, my dad would throw out the first pitch.
Yeah.
Of course he would. But since this is, you know, fantasy cut forecast land, I might as well just go with someone who I am sure you guys will not be surprised I would choose for this task.
Ichiro?
No. Yoko Ono.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
It's going to be Yoko Ono.
I'm surprised.
You just trashed the Beatles.
Oh, does that surprise you? So did she.
Yes, Before Zing, we started the podcast today, Gemma was giving her hot takes about the Beatles.
You can, you know what? Talk to me on Twitter about it. You can tweet at me about it. I will fight you on it forever. None of you guys ever talk to me on Twitter, so you won't. But Yoko Ono would throw out the first pitch for me. She's great. Personal art hero of mine.
Yeah.
She's really amazing as a woman and a member of the art scene, all fellow Japanese woman, so I'm all about it.
Can she sing the national anthem?
No. Absolutely not.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Also, since this is my personal bobblehead day, I will probably just reign over the whole day like a dictator and ascribe to Ian's suggestion to have the national anthem replaced with "This Land Is Your Land." So then probably, yeah, she could sing that.
Okay.
Be fine.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's, all right. I don't know how I feel about your day.
Whatever, it's my day. I don't care what you think. Ben?
Fair enough. Okay, Ben, what's your day?
So I had some thought process for this.
Okay, well, that's good.
I did not choose my parents.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Mom and Dad. Because I don't want it to be someone I couldn't have met otherwise.
Like,
I've met my parents, you know? I'm under the assumption that anyone I ask will be there. We'll say yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So I want to use that power for good.
For your good.
For my good. And the people's good, maybe. Who knows? POTUS would be cool. You know, Obama's thrown out a couple first pitches. You know, it'd be nice if he threw out his best first pitch to me. That'd be nice.
To you, so you want to catch it.
Yes, that's also my other assumption is that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to be the one catching it. Which brings me to my second point is that I was debating whether I wanted it to be a current major leaguer. Yeah. Because I'm catching it, I don't want my hand to break.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to see Tim Lincecum pitch again. So he was my number two.
This is a really good logic.
So three was President Barack Obama. Two was Tim Lincecum. But if it's my day, I'm going to want to throw the first pitch to myself.
So you're going to like lob it in the air?
Yes.
And then run?
And run and catch it at home plate. That is my answer.
That's a terrible idea.
Would you also give out Ben masks to every single person who came to that game so you'd be playing a game for yourself?
Yes, I haven't thought about that, but I like that.
All right.
Not in the stands.
Glad to help.
Because I don't want to feel like I'm watching myself. That's weird. But I want to be watching myself.
This whole day is really weird and very narcissistic.
It's a day for me. Of course it's narcissistic.
Again, obviously.
No, I don't approve of that day at all.
Well, again.
Well, it's fine. When it doesn't matter. When you're the owner of the team, you can make that decision.
Yeah.
You know, yes, that's fine. I think you're all
wrong. Okay, what's your day, which I'm sure is going to be so great.
It is great. So my first impulse, of course, was that I wanted people there who really guided me in my life and really brought me to the point where I am today. And so I thought, you know, why have one when I could just have three people throughout the first pitch? My mom, of course. Mm-hmm. I would not be there without her, of course. Kanye West really would not be where I am without Kanye West. And David Ortiz certainly would not be there without David Ortiz. But that, you know, those are not, I mean, yes, that's true. But then I started thinking, well, what would my bobblehead actually be, right? And let's assume I'm getting this bobblehead. We've talked a little bit before about what a bobblehead of you would be. But I didn't actually think my bobblehead would come from my baseball playing. And the only thing I could picture was, normally it's like an iconic moment that you were involved in, which frankly is probably something with this podcast or us blogging or me blogging or editing your pieces. So I realized I need somebody who's affiliated with that to throw out the first pitch. So I thought either Gemma or Ben, one of the two of you, to throw out the first pitch. But apparently, I'm not involved in your day, so I have to rescind this and go back to my mom, Kanye West, and David Ortiz.
I mean, those three people are a lot cooler than
us.
Yeah,
I would go with those three.
If I had to pick between myself and David Ortiz, I would pick David Ortiz. Like, hands down. I'm not that great.
I will graciously throw out your first pitch.
Yes, of course. I would accept the invitation. I would throw out.
It would be weird if you guys were in the bobblehead and like weren't there in some capacity. And like Kanye West.
It could be like David Ortiz's, you know, last home opener when it was
a bunch of people. Yeah, we talked about that last week. We wanted to be there. Yeah,
several people throughout that first pitch, though. Not just one person, but three guys throughout that first pitch.
Well, I would want like you guys could simultaneously throw.
Yeah.
First pitch, maybe to my mom, Kanye West, and David Ortiz. Oh, three of us can throw pitches.
Yes, it's a great idea. Let's do that.
All right, good. All right, done and done. All set. Great, cool. Good job. Mine was the best. All right, let's move on here. We had a bunch of extra inning games over the weekend. We're recording this on Monday. The Pirates had a 13-inning win over the Diamondbacks. The Nationals had a 16-inning win over the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of baseball. And I don't know, have you guys been to like a really long extra inning game before? Is that something you've seen?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What was your longest game?
14-inning game. Mets, Brewers, it was at Citi Field. And there was also a rain delay, so just time-wise, there was extra added time onto that. And there was actually for the last half of the last inning, the home half, was pretty exciting. Yeah. There was a chance that it would get tied again. But then, you know, it did not.
Yeah.
So,
about you, Ben?
I've not been anything, you know, overly long. I was at the Mets game last summer when it went into extras. I believe it was Yoenis Cespedes' first game with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Or they had just announced that they were training for him. It was right around the time that they brought him on. But it was the few days after Wilmer Flores, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then he hit the walk-off home run. Or he hit a home run or something, and he was, you know, a whole deal with him. I do remember that. That was extra innings.
That's really good.
It was a good game for extra innings.
Yeah, that's a really exciting extra innings game. Yeah.
The longest one I think I went to is also a Mets game. And
it makes sense. I mean, we all live in New York, so obviously.
We do, And it was earlier in the season, there was that game between the Mets and the Marlins that went like 20 innings or something like that, and it was really long. And my parents were in town, and we all wanted to go see baseball games, so we went to Mets-Marlins game. And I joked beforehand, I was like, the last time they played, they had a 20-inning game or whatever. So buckle up. And sure enough, this one went into, I think, the 14th inning before it finally ended. So it was exciting. But ultimately, I stayed through to the end.
Did you
stayed through the end. Mm-hmm. So this is the question. At what point in extra innings is it acceptable to leave? If it's one of these 21-inning games, can you leave at some point? Or is there a cutoff where it's like, no, you got to stay?
I mean, I think it depends so much on how, question one, are you enjoying yourself at the ballpark?
Yeah.
Because when I was there during the rain delay, a lot of people left because it was raining, and, you know, that's reasonable. Our seats were just under the overhang, so we weren't really getting wet. But I imagine that if you were just going to, like, flee and stand up under the shelter for, like, 5 innings, that even makes sense that you maybe want to leave.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like, how important is this game? You know, what
that's
are the
true
stakes?
Too.
How yeah. far behind is your team that you're there to root for in the standings? Like, do they need to win it or not? I think that contributes to how late you should stay.
So then
I would never leave because to me it's always like, oh, well, I just want to see what happens. I'll stay another and one more.
Another
just
inning. One more inning.
Oh, but after this one, it'll be over. So just one more.
Yeah.
And I will do that until it could go 26 innings and I would still be there. Like I would go 27. Three baseball games in one game, I would stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. Well, what do you think?
So I have two stipulations. I say you have to stay for at least 10. So you have to stay for that first extra inning just because it's only one inning, you know, it's not that much. Or you have to stay for longer than 13 innings.
No, in between.
So you can
leave in either the 11th or 12th.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to stay for at least 13, then you got to stay for all of them because it's, you know, getting up there, it's one of, you know, on the longer side of games and you don't want to miss something historical.
So that's closer to where I am on this, I think, where, like, once you've made that decision, then you have to stay.
Yeah.
And, like, because also the 13th or 14th inning is when we start to delve into weird baseball territory.
Right, exactly.
You want to be there for that.
Exactly.
You could see position players pitching.
And plus, once you get to, like, the 16th inning, that's already coming up on the upper limit for a lot of clubs. Like, or are they going to play their longest ever game now?
Yeah.
Maybe that could happen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like weird
how
personnel
many pitches
questions.
Yeah. Will happen. Yeah.
All that stuff's interesting. I come down similar to you, Ben. I say that you can leave between the 7th and 9th. I would advise you not to, but if you want to leave a game, I think between 7 and 9 is the time to do it. Once that happens, any extra innings, you have to stay through the whole thing. That's my feeling.
All right.
That you've committed to seeing extra innings. Why is there a difference between 12 and 13?
So how late in the day, like I'm working on this feature about the longest games in MLB, right? So one of the longest games ever, the longest game by innings was 26 innings long. And it was scoreless for a majority of the game.
It doesn't matter.
So if you start a game at 1 p.m., and it's coming up on, you know, 1:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Do you stay?
Yeah. At that point, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're part of history at that point. You and, like, four other people are probably still there. You get to go down to the front row. Yeah, absolutely, I'd stay.
All right. I respect that.
So your rule is if you're going to stay for the whole game, you have to stay for the whole game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Basically.
I get that.
I mean, I've never left a game early except for, well, that's not true. I've left a game early one time, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to act like I've never left a game early. I've done it. But if you've made that decision, no, I'm going to watch the whole game. You watch the whole game, my friend.
That's fair.
And you stay there until the bitter end. And if you get if they play 18, you do. You get a second game. That's pretty cool.
For free. And it's weird. You know the second game is going to be super
weird. It's going to be really
weird.
Yeah, it's all really strange.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we have something of a consensus, at least, that you need to stay for parts of this.
Once you have committed, once you have said to yourself, okay, I'm going to stay for the first half of the 10th, I know that you will just stay to the end.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you're trying to go to sleep and you're reading a book that's really interesting.
One more page.
Oh, I'll just read the next chapter.
Yeah.
But like, it was just one more chapter, and then it's 5 o'clock in the morning and you finish the book.
Or with,
that's
you know, you have a package of Oreos. You're like, oh, I'll just have one. I'll just have one sleeve. Oh, I'll leave the third sleeve. And then the whole thing is gone.
I literally ate a package of Oreos this weekend. And
jealous.
It was great.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I've done it in a sitting. So, what? Wait, is this on? Is this microphone on? Okay, let's move on here. I got another surprise question for you.
Ooh,
yes.
Firing this one in. Ben's so shocked he's breaking the studio. So, Cameron Newton, quarterback for the Carolina Football Panthers, was at an Atlanta Braves game this weekend.
The Football Panthers. Panthers.
The football Panthers. Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors is in Houston. He decided to see an Astros-Red Sox game. First of all, Cam plays in Charlotte, North Carolina. Steph Curry from Charlotte, North Carolina. Just want to throw that out there.
Great.
Shout out to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Are you from Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yeah, I am. I don't know if I mentioned it.
I didn't even realize that was still part of the, it wasn't just one Carolina already by this
okay.
point.
Yeah, get out of here with that nonsense. But anyway, they both went to baseball games this weekend, which is good for them. It's a good thing to do with a day off. Who, out of the two of them, would be a better baseball player, Ben?
Cam.
Cam, mm-hmm. why?
He just seems... Now, I think I'm going to anger a lot of people. He seems more athletic to me than Steph.
Yeah.
Steph is very finesse, and, you know, he's better than anyone on planet Earth at putting the ball through a hoop.
Yeah.
But in terms of raw athleticism and, like, transferring that skill to other athletic feats, I don't know how transferable it is, whereas Cam, I feel like...
is a superhero.
Yeah, the way he dominates, he just sort of muscles people on the football field.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like he could, you know, muscle some baseballs out of the park, things like that.
Okay, I like that theory. Just like the general athlete theory.
Yeah.
Okay.
He reminds me of a Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
In that he's just so powerful that he can do whatever he wants.
Fair enough. All right, Gemma, what do you think? Who's the better baseball player, Cam Newton or Steph Curry?
I mean, my answer would be very similar to Ben's. I also just think that Cam just seems like a very durable person, very durable athlete, and that is important in baseball because you have to endure a lot, play a lot of games.
True. So the reason Steph was at this
shade
game.
At Steph right now.
Well, it's true. This, the reason he was at this game
Listen,
is that he had to miss a
Steph is really,
game.
Really good, but sometimes, you know, when you frequently get injured, that's just how you are. It's
okay.
not, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with Steph. He's
First
still really,
all,
really good at basketball.
We've had your hot take on the Beatles earlier. And now we have your hot take on Steph Curry.
Okay, it is a fact that he is injured right now. That is a fact. It's not in my opinion.
Well, okay. Here's what I will say is that I'm going to represent for Steph, not just because he's from Charlotte, but because I actually think he would be the better baseball player. I think raw athleticism does not a baseball player make. I think
Fair.
If you look at some of the best baseball players in the game right now, they don't scream athleticism at you. I'm not going to name names because some may take that as an insult, but I don't mean it that way. Whereas Steph, when you really break it down, what Steph Curry does great is he's able to replicate a motion in a precise way hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what baseball is at the end of the day. Your swing. If you swing the same way every time, then you're more likely to be able to tune it in correctly for each pitch, and you're more likely to be able to hit the ball. If you're able to have the mechanics of throwing the ball the same, you're going to be a more accurate fielder. You're going to be more accurate at getting underneath the ball, taking a better route to it. That's my feeling. Also, his quick release makes me think that he would probably have a quick jump, which we're able to measure on StatCast, of course,
yes.
in order to make him a more efficient defender. That is my belief as to why Steph... I also think Steph is faster than Cam. I may be wrong about that, but I think he's probably quicker, even though Cam is stronger. I don't know. But I think Steph is built similar to, like, Ichiro, and Ichiro is a great player because of all of those same things of sort of his precision and his sort of caginess.
Yeah. That's a compelling argument. I'm not completely swayed, but I see it.
Yeah. I think either way, the real lesson there is that North Carolina is the best sports state.
Oh.
Okay. So
and my takes are hot.
Sports state. So let's move on here to this this next question. The 1857 laws of baseball. That's two words. Baseball. Were just sold at auction for an exorbitant amount of money. I think, Ben, you just wrote this post. You said it's the third highest amount of money paid for sports memorabilia. Is that right?
Yeah, apparently. After James Naismith's Rules of Basketball.
Of course.
And a 1920 Yankees Babe Ruth jersey.
Yeah. I guess that's true. There weren't a lot of jerseys that you could go buy in the 20s, I feel like. That's kind of a relatively new phenomenon.
Yeah.
But either way, the laws of baseball, third highest selling thing. That's pretty cool. Some of the rules are kind of weird. Like, there was one that you pointed out that you could have the length of the bat be however long you wanted it to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I think I like that rule. I think we should reinstate
that. You think we should reinstate that rule? Okay, so, like, somebody with a comically oversized bat comes up and stands 30 feet away from the strike zone.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Or if you want a bunt, you just get a little bat.
Get a little bat,
I would enjoy watching that. Yeah.
But here is the ultimate question, though, right? If you added those two rules back to that rule, back to the rules of baseball, it would still kind of fundamentally be baseball. But the question is, what rule do you have to have in order for baseball to be baseball? At what point, if you change a single rule, does it become a fundamentally different game? Gemma, I don't know if you have a thought on that.
Well, there are a lot of games that are baseball adjacent, right? So the question is, what makes those not baseball? Why is cricket different?
Yeah.
Other than it, you know, you can eat in the middle of it. Like, if you're one of the players, it's like, go have tea.
Have tea, right.
Yeah. So I think a lot of that has to do with, like, depth of field. Because in baseball, you can't play behind the batter. But in cricket, you can.
Oh, I see.
So I wonder if making, you know, the whole field, like, making, but then, would that make it just cricket? That's the question. That also has something to do with scoring, though, right? I don't really know how cricket is scored. So I know that there are actually very many different things that make cricket cricket and not baseball.
Right.
So I think that there's maybe something to do. So maybe there's something to do with that. But then I tried to think, like, what makes baseball different from like major American sports? And I think that's the time limit.
Okay.
Is, as we discussed earlier, you can have extra innings. Games can go on forever and ever and ever.
So you're saying if there was a clock, it would cease to be baseball.
I think that if we changed the way that innings were measured, it would cease to be baseball. So if the rule was no longer three outs and an inning, I think it would cease to be baseball.
It was like as many outs as it takes in 8 minutes.
Yes.
Then it would not be baseball anymore.
Right.
Okay. I can see that.
I think that would be like the first step on I don't know. I couldn't think of one, just like repealing one rule that would automatically change the game.
Yeah.
I guess unless you're like, well, we're going to change the pitching, like, we're going to change the way that what pitching mechanics are allowed, and then it just becomes softball, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And that is apparently, like, a different sport, right?
So apparently.
That is what is the case.
Okay.
That's what I think.
The cricket thing is certainly interesting and threw a wrench into a couple of mine, but we'll get to that. Ben, what do you
think?
So
my first thought was the time limit.
Uh-huh.
I agree that if you put a clock on baseball, it becomes different. But I was just thinking, we talked about this earlier, and that, you know, you can get rid of the ball and, you know, replace it with, you know, something else. And it's still, you can still play baseball without a ball.
Yeah.
As long as you're throwing and hitting something. But the bases is an interesting concept, because what other sports really do you have to, like, run to a specific place?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, you don't necessarily need the base itself. You don't even, you know, the physical square of material.
Yep.
But you need a, you know, you have to run to this location and then to this location. Whereas most other sports are just, you know, people just running around.
You have to go,
like,
to a goal.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, one specific goal only. There are no steps to the goal.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think the base is, you know, in the name.
Well, yeah. It would just be ball at that
point. Yeah. So I think
the
idea of running
game.
To a location, a specific location,
yeah.
The fact that only one person can be there one time.
I like that.
That actually was one of the things I had, was that there have to be bases.
Yeah.
Like, that you keep breaking the
studio, chairs.
Man. I know that you're trying to dramatically emphasize your point being accurate.
Bases must stay in baseball.
But
keep,
I think you're right.
Yeah. Keep the base in baseball.
But that was the first place I went to. It was like, you need a ball, you need bases.
Yeah.
And you guys, you made that good point about how if you played with a, you know, a bottle cap or something like a stick ball, that is still sort of baseball.
Yeah.
I think it's not baseball at that point. You do need to have a base and a ball in order for it to be baseball. But I'll buy those arguments. The other thing I thought was that you have to catch the ball to make an out. That you have to, like, catch it on a fly for fly out, for example. Like, if you change that, then that fundamentally is different. But, like you said, like, that's kind of the cricket argument, right?
That, right.
It's, you know, cricket, that's already a rule. And so why is it different if I get rid of that rule?
And what would change? So, like, if a fielder catches a ball on the fly, it's not an out. So to get an out, you have
always
to be tagged,
have to have the put out
to strike,
right.
strike out. Okay.
Right, like that is a fundamentally different game. To uh-huh. But as you say, like it's similar though, right?
Yeah.
Like it's. So I actually what I landed on here is the idea that you can have a glove when you're fielding, and I think if you get rid of that, I do think it becomes a fundamentally, like at its essence, a different sport, because now the question is not, oh, that fielder sort of made this great catch, or that fielder went. It devolves into that thing the NFL is running into of what is a catch,
and
that now becomes the like the currency of baseball is catching the ball, as opposed to it's sort of assumed that if you're getting your glove near it, you're gonna catch it, and if you don't, like we literally invented a stat called an error that shames you when that doesn't happen. So like the default is that you're gonna catch it, whereas I think if you didn't have a glove, that would no longer be the default. And
well, that's so interesting, because I feel like in this book, The Laws of Baseball, a lot of those guys would not have been wearing gloves,
true.
In fact.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's evolved to the point now where, like, what is baseball today?
Mm-hmm.
It would be unrecognizable if the players didn't have gloves. Because, I mean, every 5 seconds, it would be, he caught the ball, he hit the ground, the ball maybe bounced out, maybe it didn't, maybe, like... Like the NFL thing with the catches,
yeah.
and you don't know what a catch is. I do think that would happen in baseball in a way that hasn't happened now because of gloves. And I think like that becomes the valuable thing you bring as a player. I also think it would just make it harder. So
yeah,
it would look a lot different. There'd
yeah.
be a lot of like just, you know, people hurting their hands on the ball.
Yeah.
Although cricket, they somehow survive.
Yeah, I mean, well, people played baseball without gloves for a long time, too.
Yeah.
So I feel like that, I still think that just having no way stations, like
yeah.
getting rid of the bases in baseball would be the one single rule that you could just
it's
say,
true.
Like, there's only home plate now.
Yeah.
It would just be chaos.
And you just play tag, I guess. You would just have to try to
yeah.
run. You'd have to run. Like, if you got it would just have to be, like, wherever you hit the ball. If
yeah,
whoever
you have to run in a circle
tag
and
you
get
first.
Back.
Yeah. But with no bases. I think that would be crazy and definitely not.
Yeah.
Baseball. So I think Ben's rule is like the cleanest one like rule change you
yeah.
can make.
Yeah,
that
if you have a base to play baseball.
Gotta
yeah.
keep the base in baseball.
Otherwise it's yeah. Otherwise it's like home run derby video game forever and ever.
Yeah.
That is not a bad thing.
Though I would like to watch guys run around and try to tag
a big
each
game
other.
Of major league tag.
Yes.
I would love that.
I would enjoy watching it.
Yeah. We're not saying this would be not as good as baseball.
It just would not be baseball.
It would not be baseball. Major League Tag would be on, you know, ESPN, and it would be amazing. I'd love it.
And then the way that you value players would totally change. Like,
sure.
the world's biggest superstar would be, like, D. Gordon.
Yeah.
Hit the ball
so
real
fast.
Far, run real fast.
Yeah. Billy Hamilton
yeah.
would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That, well, now I just want to watch Major League Tag. That's, like, the thing I mostly want to see. Okay, well, let's wrap up here. I think we've, there's no more baseball
we've
to talk
covered
about.
The bases.
I don't have anything to throw at you right now. That's what that silence
I'm
gonna was.
I'm going to pretend that I didn't hear that. And
whatever.
Instead,
you called our warm-up question the other day batting practice.
I did
so
call
don't
it
even
that.
Start
I
on
did call
Ben.
It that. But this now, we're going to come to a close here, and it's time to sum up the podcast in 140 characters. One tweet that accurately gets at the essence of the Cut 4, well, this specific episode of the Cut 4 cast. Gemma, since you delivered hot takes today, why don't
yeah, I've
you
been,
start
I've been real,
with your hot Twitter take?
I've been real loud today.
Yeah. What do you got? What's your podcast summary?
Okay. It's going to be Cut 4 cast goes into extra innings this week with hot takes about at Yoko Ono and then hashtag keep the base in baseball.
I like that. Maybe a little long.
It probably won't make it all the way.
Yeah, I don't think that's...
I'll just cut the, and it'll probably just make it.
Yeah, well...
That's all you gotta do. That's
yeah,
how that's, it always works.
Yeah, okay. Ben, what do you got? What's your tweet?
Mine's gonna be throwing out the first pitch at my own 27-inning game. Hashtag keep the base in baseball.
Okay, I like it.
We're gonna get this trending topic going.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so. I think that's what's gonna happen.
Okay, mine. I stayed through to the end of my own bobblehead day game. Thanks, Mom, and at Kanye West for being there.
That's adorable.
Great. I love
the
it.
End.
Maybe you'll get a retweet.
Maybe.
Kanye West.
Probably. Probably won't.
Probably your mom. She'll retweet it.
My mom is not on Twitter, so she's not going to retweet it. And Kanye definitely won't either, so it'll just go out into the ether for nobody to care about.
I mean, that's what is Twitter for, if not that?
A fantastic question. And if you have an answer to that question, or if you have a better, more accurate summary of our podcast, you can tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We'll retweet the best ones, we'll like the slightly less good ones, and I personally will mock the ones that I think are bad.
You want to talk to me about the Beatles?
Yeah,
feel
if you
free.
Have any, oh, Gemma thinks that the Beatles
inviting
aren't,
Beatles takes.
Gemma thinks the Beatles aren't the best band. If you disagree or if you're angry with her, please tweet her and you can get into an argument with her. You can also read all the stuff we write at MLB.com/cut4. We have a lot of stuff going up. Gemma, what are you most excited about?
Well, we were talking about long extra inning games, so I'm just, you know, finding some of the more interesting ones that have ever happened and looking for the ones for each franchise.
Yeah.
Some have ended in ties, real regular season games that everyone just got so tired of playing that they ended in ties.
Wow.
Quitters.
Yes.
That's exciting. Okay.
Or they're still being played today. It's like inning 475.
Ben, what are you excited about coming up on Cut 4?
Actually, today just went up a post about David Ortiz. He has a legitimate shot at having the best final season ever.
Wow.
Or at least since 1960. Maybe ever.
That's exciting. Go to MLB.com/cut4. You can read all about that. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. If you like this podcast, please, by all means, subscribe to it. Tell your friends, hey, I have this really great podcast. It's about baseball, ostensibly. And you can subscribe to it on iTunes. It's called the MLB.com Cut4Cast. Oh, hey, friend. While you're there, why don't you write them a review? You can do 1 to 5 stars. And if you actually take the time to write the review, these crazy people will read it on their podcast. Isn't that exciting? You can say all of that. And I guarantee you, they will say, thank you, friend. Oh, my gosh. You're the best friend that I have ever had. And we'll have strengthened your friendship. So make sure to do that. I think we're all out of time. I think that's all we got.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's about it. Ben, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me. A pleasure as always.
Gemma, thank you as always for putting up with me.
Thanks for putting up with me, Dakota.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you next week.